Hey, my friends, here we are, the 30th of September, 2009, last day of September. We're getting ready to jump into October next month. I mean, listen, this is going to be an incredible month, and I don't want you to forget that starting tomorrow on the ShatterTheDarkness.net website, we will put up a little icon. It'll say 30 days ablaze, or 31 days, actually, ablaze. If you want the devotionals and what's going to be spoken on a daily basis, just a little short, shot in the arm spiritually, then this is going to be for you. So remember, for October, 31 days ablaze, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Hey, listen, this is Russ Dizdar. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the kind words. Want to welcome everyone that's listening. Listen, everybody that comes, even if you say, well, I'm not a believer in Christ, that's fine. We want you to be here, whatever your background is, because really and truly there is a supernatural engagement during this hour. No question, no matter where you are in all the world right now, I'm extremely confident that God loves you, knows you, wants you. And if you don't know him yet, he's pursuing you. If you didn't know that, he's pursuing you. And it might be that whether tonight live or later on in an archive, you listen to this. And I'm just gonna say that I trust that there is a divine appointment. And what a wonderful thing when God encounters. That's a great thing. When I was young, and we would be two streets over from where my house was. We'd be hanging out with all the kids of the neighborhood playing football in the street. That's what we used to do. And probably every single week there was a fight among all the 20, 30 kids that hung out together in the neighborhoods. Back in those days, we just walked everywhere. And we crossed over fence, and we used to fight each other with trash can lids and tree limbs. That's right, we'd gather teams up and grab tree limbs, little branches, you know, we can break off. And we would steal somebody's trash can lid and use that as our shield. And we would fight each other in the neighborhoods. Well, this is the place where we got into a lot of trouble, but I'll never forget that I could hear my brother and I, we could hear my father from two to three streets over when it was time for dinner, when it was time to come home. He would literally, we'd hear, it was like the Tarzan yell. I could hear it even now in my mind, that he would literally call us by name and call us to come home. Can I tell you something, my friend? Those that know the Lord Jesus, you've been called to come home. And it's the voice of the God that loves you. And those listening right now, please engage. Please stay around. We want you to know that it may be today that you literally yield to the calling of God summoning you to come home. Listen, tonight we're dealing again with well, how does demonic revelation become political ideology? Because ultimately in all of the spiritual streams that are out there, the books, the literature, the places, the videos, the DVDs, the music, the shops, all of the stuff, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to continue to trickle up into the political system and the military system. Now, it's done that in kind of a frog-in-the-kettle approach. That's why we have shadow government, shadow military. Just got a book the other day. I haven't even read all of it yet. Matter of fact, I'm looking here to my right, looking to my left. I must have taken it upstairs. But that's what the title is, Shadow Government. And I'll be getting into that book new. I usually get about two, three books a week here. Just to delve into everything. And ultimately, when it comes down to all of it, it's not about arguments. It's about the proclamation. It's about messages. If you want to believe what the finite spirits are speaking and saying, you know, that's what you're going to get. If you want to listen to what the Spirit of God has to say, you know, God says, come, let us reason together. So listen, tonight as we're talking a little bit, I want you to engage the subject, how does demonic revelation become political ideology? Now, we've already said this on Monday night and Tuesday night, that we've mentioned four of these things on Monday night, one extra one on Tuesday night, and a new one tonight. Let me just go over real quick before the announcements. We mentioned demonic revelation comes by inspiration of spirits. It can come by spirits entering into a person's life. It can come, demonic revelation can come from writings like Alice Bailey and others that have been guided by a finite fallen spirit. It can be a channeler or somebody who has one of these spirits in them or on them. If they are speaking, they will communicate demonic revelation. Then I mentioned also, based on Revelation 16, and what's occurring all around us, this is where the secret power, this is where the secrecy is, where they summon the demons up and specifically send them purposely to influence minds. This is spiritual warfare on the level of assignments. Ritual warfare, summoning spirits, sending them. We talked about that last night a little bit. And the mother of all rituals, which will be on a global level, has not yet occurred. It's prophesied in Revelation 16. And again, I'll say political leaders, military individuals, the primary targets of the release of incredibly powerful spirits will be political military. The kings of the earth. Well, God gave a warning 3,000 years ago. Take a read, Psalms chapter 2. First, I want to get to some of those who've written in, and I want to mention Harry. Appreciate it, Harry, writing in and asking me what I know about a specific sect that is down in Tucker, Georgia. Now, all I can tell you is that it does have kind of a Hindu background. It's an offshoot, and so it will be steeped in that spirituality, finite spirituality. So second thing that he mentions here, Harry mentions is, he says, my pastor at our church thinks we are 40 years away from the second coming of Christ. Well, it could be possible. I can't see another 10 years going by. That's me. I think the visible return of Christ is possibly within 10 years. And for any reason that it's lengthened, 20 or 30, there's only one reason. The Spirit of God says in the book of 2 Peter, God is patient with you. He's not willing that anyone perish. So I want you to know that it says, God says this, 2 Peter chapter 3, that it's not about slowness, it's not about delay. It's that God's patience means one thing. You can read it there, chapter 3, 2 Peter. It means one thing, salvation. The life of an individual. And I'm glad that in many ways, if Jesus would have returned, 40 years ago, I would have, because I rejected him back then, I would have been lost forever in hell. My father that I witnessed to, arrogantly rejected Christ for 23 years as I continued to try and try and try and try. Till he was 70 years old, then he received Christ. 4 months later, he died. Now, I'm glad that God gives, and that's one thing about time in a fallen world. Time in a ragged, fallen, broken, hurting, bloody, violent, murderous, warmongering, rapist type world, where Satan is active in the world. Let me tell you one thing. The only reason God hasn't returned, Christ hasn't come, and ultimate and eventual final judgment on radical evil is one thing, my friends, and that is the salvation. Time is in the hand of God, and God uses it for the salvation of lives. If you've been listening and knowing that God has been summoning and calling you to come home, don't you think it's time right now? The Word of God says now is the day. Don't you know? Now is the day. So my friends, listen, that's very important. Christ could return, it could be 10 years, maybe 40 years. I just can't see it, but none of us know the actual day or hour. The signs are leading to the end of the age coming soon. Well, the next thing he says here, it says, referring to his pastor, he says, Jesus will not come back until every people group has heard the gospel in their language. And so that's kind of a question that Harry's throwing out here. And I want to say this, Harry. In two places in the Gospels, Jesus himself says that until the gospel is preached to every single, you know, everywhere, to every creature, all the world, there'll be no visible return of Christ. God wants people saved. There is no bigger agenda, bigger than the judgment of evil, bigger than the ending of all of this craziness, is the fact that God wants to do everything possible to bring people home to Christ. So that's very important. Now, Harry, you also mentioned on another email here where he says, we've been talking about Allah last week, and he says, I believe that Allah, according to my reading, was a pagan moon god that Muhammad had worshipped, and actually Muhammad's father too. And let me say very clearly that that could be very true. If you study the ancient moon god, goes all the way back to the sin, what's called sin god, that small g, of course, but that does not still negate the fact that there was a ruling territorial spirit over all of Persia, which is the current Iraq, Iran, Syria, all that land over the Saudi Arabia. The massive Persian Empire had over it the prince of Persia. Well, the word prince in Hebrew is just ruler. So if it was the moon god, that's one thing. But we're talking about territorial. Either way, I would still say that since the prince of Persia didn't die, and since the evidences of a territorial demonic being are that he's connected to the land, connected to the law, and connected to the pagan worship, then I personally believe that Allah is the ancient prince of Persia, the ruler of that area. And that's all. And so Muslims, if you're listening, don't just get mad. Think through it. Go through it all. Listen, go look up Reza Safa, a former Shiite Muslim who had great fear to turn away from Allah and come to the living Christ. But listen, Reza Safa knows the living Christ, and Christ can come into your life and give you your, listen, not only forgiveness and the removal of all the guilt and the removal of fear. That's what God wants to do. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Thanks for listening. We are 15 minutes into the one-hour live show tonight. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 p.m. Then on Tuesday night, 7 p.m., SurviveToThrive.net. Thanks again to Steve Quayle. Want to mention that there's a few things coming up. You can email, by the way, some questions in. We can get to them sometimes, and if we don't, we try to bring them in the next day or so. But shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. And I do apologize because, like, during the night, when I get up in the morning, you know, there's probably right now 400 emails that I'm behind on. We're trying to get to everybody we can. But on a human scale, there's just no way. I'm trying, and we'll try it on a daily basis, so we'll keep working at it. Pray about your emails, and listen, we'll continue to try. Want to mention tonight that October, which begins tomorrow, and just 23 days away then, is a conference in Mansfield, Ohio. And people are already signing up for it, registering for it. Tom Dunn is the coordinator. They're sponsoring it down there. They're running everything. I'm just a speaker. But he's calling it Demolishing Strongholds. And if you go to shatterthedarkness.net, you'll see an icon that simply says Conference Demolishing Strongholds. You can read all about it there, where they're going to allow me to teach 5 or 6 hours Friday night and during Saturday on basics of spiritual warfare, basics of deliverance, occult level or ritual warfare, a view from the trenches. How does prophetic revelation prepare us for the broader scale of supernatural masquerading, confusion, deception, seduction? And so I believe God has given absolutely strategic intelligence about what the enemy of the human race and of the throne of God is doing, sequentially can it continue to do, and then ultimately do. So we need to be getting a heads up. And so we're going to do that in Mansfield, Ohio, October 23rd, 24th. And I just got a note also from Tom that they're asking me to preach on Sunday morning at a church, I guess, there. And we're going to do baptisms like we did last time we were there in June. So we look forward to that, and I look forward to seeing some of you there. I know that just 3.5 minutes before the show started tonight, a dear person from England, the UK, had called in, and I will talk with that individual later tonight. But I know that there's folks all over listening, but I am extremely aware of the omnipresence of God, that He's even close to the brokenhearted in this ragged edge of a world. I call it the ragged edge because it really is. We weren't meant for death and beatings and blood and bloodshed and all the rest. We were meant for a lot of these things, but it's all entered in. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine, Tim, from out west in the United States, sends me an email that has a link to a story, and I'm just going to read the front line. Ex-detective's occult expertise sought in the Farmville slayings. This is by Patrick Wilson, Virginia Beach. Here's what it says, quote, "Pentagrams, goat's heads, the Church of Satan. Don Reimer knows a lot about such things. The retired Beach police detective is an expert on occult crime and has been called by Virginia State Police to go to Farmville to help analyze the deaths of 4 people whose bodies were discovered September 18th in the small college town west of Richmond." By the way, in Richmond, Virginia, I was at the Mind Control Conference, the famous Green Bomb Mind Control Conference, where Corey Dunham and Alan Shepton were, all the psychiatrists and psychologists, back, I think, in 90, whatever it was, 92, 93, 94, somewhere around there. But this is now another case, and another case, and we've worked on another, and we're involved in 3 cases right now. You got to understand, it really does occur, and law enforcement usually is taught at the academy, in the local department, do not tell the people. Like when Pastor Daniels out west was killed and left in a crucified position, and brutally murdered. It is now clearly a ritualistic murder in which law enforcement brought in all the other pastors and leaders and warned them to have protection, security, because it looks like there's an agenda. Guarantee you there really is an agenda. And there's no question that some of those, what we've called, you know, chosen ones or sleepers that are going to bring this kind of violence, they're going to seek out pastors and leaders down the road here. That sometimes they've been triggered a little early. But we'll take a look at all the information coming in. And it is, again, let me just read this. Quote, "The bodies were found in Deborah Kelly's house in Farmville. A week before the deaths, the 4 victims had gone to a music festival in Michigan that featured horrorcore artists performing music about raping, killing, and mutilating people." Isn't that amazing? Horrorcore, they're out there going to just absolutely unleash about raping people, killing people, mutilating people. If you want to understand anarchy, you're seeing the anarchy sign all over, the concept of anarchy. That is demonic revelation, inspiration, that is filtered down into the hearts and minds of individuals. Listen, the Spirit of God says, Ephesians chapter 2, referring to the prince of the power of the air, the atmosphere around us, the spirit who is now at work, the Greek word work, supernaturally operative in the hearts of those bent on living out rebellion against God, living in darkness. And so you're seeing stuff like this is, again, the manifestation of the sin code within, plus. You got to understand, so many crimes in criminology is the sin of man, the gross sin of man in a ragged fallen world, plus the demonic inspiration or entrance into to push somebody over the edge. So many of the cases, and many of the serial murderers, if you ever read Dave McGowan's work called Programmed to Kill, incredible book. Derek Gilbert from PID Radio has done an interview. You can go to PIDradio.com and find the interview. The book is, the reason I think the book is so great in criminology, which you know we've been a student of for years and years and years and involved in, that really criminology has no ability to conceive of how demonic presence can instigate murder, rape, so forth. And by the way, if a demon-possessed individual moved by the demon because they're so taken over in their own lives rapes an individual, it's clear that there can be demonic transfer onto the woundedness into the person who was raped or harmed. And I'm not saying it happens in every case, but if a person is possessed, that can happen. So very important for us to realize that regardless of what evil has been done, there is one prophesied 700 years before he came. In the book of Isaiah, it talked about Messiah, that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord would be upon him, that he would be able to not only give the good news, but deliver people, heal people, set people free, open blind eyes. Wherever you're listening at in all the world, this incredible Christ demonstrated that all creation obeyed him, that he had power and authority over sin, sickness, disease, death, hell, Satan, all of it. He's the way up. He's the way out. He wants to come into your heart and life. I want to say that we appreciate those who've been writing in. Appreciate Tim. He's constantly sending me information, you know, that he sees. A number of you send me information like this, and we can't get all of it out, but we try to. By the way, we've just put out, starting today, the brand new newsletter that we put out. We've been putting it out once a week. It's going to probably be three times a month because we don't want to, you know, go overboard, but having too much. But anyway, we just put it out, and there's podcast and literature and updates. And if you want the free newsletter email-wise coming to you, again, go to shatterthedarkness.net. Scroll down a little bit where it talks about the newsletter, and it'll show you what to do. We'll get that to you because we just uploaded into that newsletter, and you can get it again free. It's a one-hour teaching. There's a series we are doing on spiritual discernment in these days. And we just put up session number two today, and you can get that by going to, well, the whole, that series is called HSP versus ESP, Holy Spirit Perception versus Extrasensory Perception, and we're going to look at the roots and so forth. And anyway, it's up there. So I'm going to read a little bit more of this article from this one that Tim sent in. And I quote again. The flyer for the Strictly for the Wicked festival, let me say it again, quote, the flyer for the Strictly for the Wicked festival in Michigan shows a goat's head and 666 in the pentagram. Okay. We've seen that on a lot of albums and records and, you know, gravestones and buildings and, you know, notebooks in schools and so forth. Can it attract demonic presence? Sure. Absolutely. Can it? I mean, what's the message behind a goat's head, 666, the worth of pentagram, inverted? It only represents one thing. This goes on to say, and I quote, the images that immediately stood out were the pentagram, which is the international symbol for the Church of Satan. And the Church of Satan, founded by Anton LaVey, and listen, that is the public. Anybody can become a member, $25, $50. That's one style. There's also traditional Satanism. And then there's underground transgenerational, which is probably the largest, which is what is connected to real underground Luciferianism. Now, I'm reading again, and here's what it says, that if, quote, if you listen to something that talks about killing and rape and murder and suicide, which this music does, your mind catalogs those lyrics, whether you like it or not. Now, those are the words of the cult crime detective. They surround themselves with peers they feel the same, that feel the same way, and they surround themselves with angry, depressing music. And if we allow them to do that, then we have a huge problem. Deborah Kelly was a criminal justice professor, and her husband was a Presbyterian minister. And here's what it says at the end, Reimer, the detective says, "Everybody needs to know this topic so that we can try to prevent what happened in Farmville, which was the death of four individuals based on that." Now you say, well, can listening to certain music really influence you? You know, when we live in denial, we'll say, no, it won't do that. Really? Does anybody remember in the United States when you were kids, maybe 60, 50, 45 years ago, and you used to watch the Three Stooges? My brother, my sister, and I, and then my littlest brother, we'd be all in front of that old television, back then black and white, and we'd watch the Three Stooges, and we'd watch how Mo would pull Larry's hair, or Curly's hair, and or however it went, and they would hit and do all those things and plunk each other in the eyes. Can I tell you something? We got in trouble at least 1,000 times when we were kids because Nick, my brother, would start it, he'd plunk me in the eyes. I would I would slap him on the head. We would pull each other's hair. We would get into a fight then. It all began because watching the Three Stooges, we simply as kids couldn't help but to do what we thought was funny, and we did it. Please understand that, again, when it comes to demonic ideology, or demonic revelation rather, that means, again, the communication, influence of dark spirits. They only have one nature, one will. And it opposes everything that is good, everything that is right, everything. And the destabilization that you're seeing in the world, the crashes economically, politically, and worldwide, and all the stuff about the nuclear weapons in Iran and the Middle East and Israel, and everything is a part of the biblical, the Holy Spirit's revelation and prophetic revelation of what's going to be happening. Because there is, underneath it all, an active and incredible spiritual war. We're seeing more and more and more of it. If you're brand new tonight, once again, I'm going to say thank you for coming in, listening. We appreciate it. We're on Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 6, Tuesday at 7. Sunday nights too, but my name is Russ. Check out shatterthedarkness.net, and you'll be able to find out everything we are about, what we can give you and offer you freely and so forth too. I mentioned on Monday night that the demonic side, the spirits, well, they can inspire a person. Or, number two, they can enter into, like Judas, they can enter into and lead them to do something. He betrayed Christ and caused, well, really, he opened the door. He went and sold him out to have him crucified and killed. And it was Satan that entered into him. And we've dealt with individuals where spirits have entered in and killed or attacked. We've been engaged in that. Thirdly, it could be writings. For those who know your Bibles, Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the infinite, uncreated Spirit of God says, because he's got a head up on all of it. He knows all that's going on. He knows everything that's happening. And so he can tell you not only the origin, the nature, the methodology, but the agenda, and what's happening all around us. Jesus gave to the early disciples a heads up. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you. Right there in real time. In real time. Satan was seeking to destroy the disciples right there while Jesus was there. And right there where Jesus was is where Satan entered into Judas and led him out of the meeting to go betray Christ. In real time. in real time in political circles, in the congresses and in those halls of prime ministers and those leaders. In real time, demonic presence, Satan himself, that is there to bring inspiration, to bring influence, to enter into people who are, well, they're completely unaided. And the more they're given over to the Luciferian agenda, the concept of a spiritual evolution and deification, the concept of the absolute need for globalism, world control, where you see them echoing, I'm telling you, that's the evidence that they have been influenced by demonic revelation. It will turn into political ideology. That is, they'll write it out, they'll put it in laws, they'll begin to institute it, they'll begin to enact it, they'll begin to get military to enforce it. Absolutely no differently than the way it worked with the Nazi regime. Only this is going to be on a global scale. It's coming. Many of you can feel it in the air. You can sense what's going on all around us. Those without Christ, you're lost, you're vulnerable, and the darker and more seductive spiritually it becomes, the harder it will be for you to get out. Soldiers and others, whatever you do, when it comes down to the mark and the image of the beast, you surrender to that, you're lost forever. You're lost forever. And if you read Ezekiel the prophet lately, you'll find out that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn. So listen, someone who's listening tonight, might be that God has been speaking to you, summoning you, calling you, come home to Christ. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, what does it say? Can be saved. Christ, literally, alive, can come into you. Bring total forgiveness, the work of what occurred at the cross, power of his blood and what he did there, change you for eternity, my friends. So listen, as we're looking at, well, we've looked at three of those points already: inspiration, entrance into, and writings. If you read the writings of inspired, you know, they've been inspired by the demonic, then please understand, you're going to get, and you're going to even feel, some people even feel a pressure. Because the demonic that inspired writings want to attend to those writings, and they want to, with supernatural force, get people to believe them. The fourth thing we talked about on Monday was those who are speaking. That's why in 1 John it says, test the spirits to see whether they've come from God or not. Because, you know, people were coming in and speaking to the people, and they were spiritually, they had unction, they had spiritual, you know, they were motivated by spiritual presence. But not everything spiritual comes from God. There's only two sources when it comes down to it. Everything from the dark side, finite side, will lead you away from God, Christ, and the Bible, and deeper into experiences, preoccupation, and distraction. Anything and everything that would come literally from God will lead you to the Word of God, to Christ, to a relationship. God wants to make himself known. The dark side comes masqueraded. And there might be many of you that have grasped the masqueraded spiritual experiences, and they're real. They're real. You know they haven't led you to God, but I'm telling you that they're wrong, and they will steal your soul and help steal your soul in the end. Point five we mentioned yesterday was the ritual release of spirits. Again, most churches in the nation here and around, we need to have great, just like that detective says about why we need to know more about this stuff. You know, when we simply hide in our houses and put our heads in the sand, first of all, that's the opposite of the calling of a believer who's to be the light of the world. Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew? Who is to take up the cross and follow Christ, who's to be a part of the Great Commission. And Ephesians 5 tells us that we are to expose evil, right? That's part of the prophetic and light-bearing work of those really in fellowship with the living personal God. Now, the sixth thing I'm going to mention tonight Tonight, it's charged objects, amulets, things like that. Now, in the Old Testament, they had a big problem with this that was called devoted things. They were, well, they can be called sacred things. A sacred thing could be, again, depending on, a sacred thing can be, it can actually be sacred in the sense of set apart for demonic use. Please, in the Old Testament, among the Moloch and the Hittites and the Philistines and, all the rest, you've got to understand how it works. If you understand how the dark side works, they can attach to objects. They can attach to objects. And once they attach to objects, that object then, well, in the view of New Agers and others, is a charged. If you have an object you think has just got energy on it, whose energy? See, demonic presence emanates energy. Believers in Christ know that when they are clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit, you can feel the power, the energy, the force of the person of the Holy Spirit. Whereas when it comes to the whole dark side, and all the Satanists know this, all of you know this very well, that you guys charge objects. Part of what's been done in the last 30-some years is their incremental approach to infiltrating the body of Christ. Part of the way that they help bring kind of a spiritual confusion and blindedness and weakness within the body is when they begin to give demonized objects to people. That means an object that was used in a ritual. And the more bloody and terrifying the ritual, and the more powerful or amount of demons raised, well, they, whether you believe it or not, they can place them, command them to be on the object. And then once on the object, in the old days, the object was to be a thing of power, a thing of blessing, a thing of whatever. That's why people wore even amulets that might have had powers to try to deflect even worse powers. And so people like missionaries would go to other lands and pick up these little, little knickknacks that were dedicated to demon gods of the towns or villages that would have been blessed by a priest with demonic presence and power. And you bring it back to your house, it's sitting on your table or on the wall, and you feel like some things are going weird. You feel like something's wrong. Something's not working. You know why? Because you've literally brought into your house an object that has demonic presence attached. Literal presence. Somebody that's got demons in them, if they walk into your house, they'll know that. If you're sensitive to the Spirit of God and you simply pray, Lord, reveal anything in my house, anything. Whether given to me, that I bought at an antique shop, that I brought home with me from somewhere else, that my kids have brought in. If there is anything like that, you're going to have to, go around and say, Lord, lead me. And we've been called to many houses to do this in many places. People have brought to us at one time, we had 6 or 7 tables of confiscated stuff that eventually we said, you know what, we just got to burn all this stuff. We just got to crush this stuff up and not let it be used in any way. Forget showing anybody about it. We can take pictures of it and show them a slide or something. But the objects we had to just, my thing was just we need to burn them, get rid of them, do whatever else. No reason to try to just simply. And there's been people that have given me demonized gifts. In the newsletter, I have a little piece of the book, an unedited part of the book of the Black Awakening. Again, will be shipped out here shortly. We're waiting to. That talks about how there was a deep ingrained Satanist that I knew about, that I engaged for the sake of another pastor in the town. They showed up one day at my office at a large church I was pastoring. And as they sat there and did all they did and talked and they left, I said, you know what? I discerned something, folks. I discerned that something was wrong there. I knew that they weren't there, that there was another agenda. They were masquerading. That's how it's going to work. And then they left, and so I had to go pray about it. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart and say, they've come here to bring curse and spiritual confusion. I looked to my right, and tucked into the couch that was in the office were two black power rings that this individual used to wear as demonized objects to guard them and protect them. See, as a believer, we have right in us and literally on us, we are clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Power from on high. Awesome. And the power helps us to unleash the authority of Christ when we realize we have authority to trample the dark side. Now, I don't need an object. Our body has become the temple. The Greek word in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 or chapter 6, either way you want to go, it refers to the church as a whole. It also refers to us as individuals. That our body is a temple, a naos, used in the Greek Septuagint of the Bible, referring to the Holy of Holies. We're not talking about the outer court. We're talking about the Holy of Holies. Your body now is the Holy of Holies. It's the dwelling place of God because of the sinless, the blood of Christ. You see, we have no idea of the power of the blood of Christ. We can sing, there's power in the blood, power. We can sing those songs. We need to know them. We need to know them. Because demonic revelation has been spewing out, pouring out, communicating out. See, occultists talk about it being in the astral plane, that it's coming into the mental plane, that it's beginning to influence people, there's a critical mass developing, that more and more and more and more people are feeling a new age is about to dawn. Well, a chaos before the new age, 2012ers talk about it, they're all going to talk about it. A chaos that may necessarily have to come, but yet there'll be a new, big, great world order, a new dawn of history for humanity, and a new spiritual leader. Any writings that have come from the demonic side will spell out the false promise that if people will listen and believe in this spiritual alternative way, that they will eventually evolve and there'll be an evolution of human consciousness to deification. And that we will be pushed into a whole new age of globalism. This is the age of the... Listen. Aquarius? Really? And see, unless there is clear spiritual truth, and many that have come out... I mean, I did. I came out of steeped into new age occultic and even satanic dark, dark teachings. But one thing that blew me out of the waters was the emanating presence of the Spirit of God in the individual that shared Christ with me. I was blown away. Christians, get down very clearly. 1 John chapter 4, Megdala is the Greek word. Greater is the one, God the Holy Spirit, in you than the one who's in the world. Than the one who's in the world. That means, again, you have authority, Luke chapter 10, trample the dark side. The only way that authority can be exercised, you can't just know you have it, you can't just look it, it's oral. You speak it. Whether it's demonic manifestation coming up out of a person, take charge immediately, command it to stop, order it. Take a read again of Luke chapter 10, a great training chapter. And command ultimately to command it out of a person and all the demons that might be there. Now, that might be true about warfare coming against you, ritual warfare, spirit sent against you. Generally, I believe all churches should be pouring out prayer, not only for great spiritual awakening or revival, for thousands and hundreds of thousands of salvation, and saturating our nation with prayer, but we need to pray for the advance of the kingdom of God. And we also, by the authority given to us, should pray against the dark side. Why in the world? It's like a Navy ship with massive armament sitting in the, sitting over there in the Middle East. And all kinds of enemy ships come around and begin to, shoot its missiles and shoot at it. We would think it'd be crazy if that ship with all that massive armament would just sit there and not fire back. See, God has given to the believer massive armament, the authority of Jesus, to trample the dark side, to overcome, from the Greek word Nike, all the power of the enemy. It can only be done when we actually pray against, in a general sense, all the darkness. In a general sense, against all that we see is demonic. We need to be praying for the exposure of it. We need to be praying against it. But we also need to pray against what we feel is coming against us. Be strong. Be bold. Be authoritative. Because as demonic revelation more and more and more becomes political ideology, you can be sure. You can be sure. Now, I don't know who's all listening tonight, but I just got a note coming in, and it says that they lost connection to the broadcast, and they're not able to reconnect. So we're archiving this also, and for anybody that might have lost connection, go to the archives, because by the next morning, this one will be up on the archives, and we hope you can get it then. So we ask God to bless Deborah, and Father, bless and protect. Notice that if we've lost connection in any way, or if you've lost connection, that's because there's it's not just all the time simple mechanical errors, equipment errors. We've seen this happen before. And look what we're talking about. We're talking about the core issue here. And I have no question that there are those that have fought against the show as before. Now, I want to mention three things tonight with about 10 minutes left. Because when we talk about the spirit of Antichrist that involves this barrage and ramping up and pouring out of demonic presence, unclean, to move the world into moral decadence, which dirties the human conscience and makes it more open to the demonic influence. See, the dark side knows how to dirty the human conscience and prepare it for an even deeper, darker, you know, attachment. Well, we're including in that, though, the communication. The communication that can come off of a charged object. Look at the objects. Listen, if political people listen and military people listen. If you're given objects that are dedicated to gods, small g, demon spirits, or charged objects, you who are in the UN, you know, it doesn't make any difference around the world. Political individuals, government individuals, look all around you at the objects and symbols and things, because if demonic presence was placed on any of those things, then the presence will emanate and seek to bring influence. In the Old Testament, God forbid them to have devoted objects. Objects devoted to a demon god can keep the door open and be a doorway for them to begin to influence and speak and begin to guide people. And you just don't want that to occur. We need to, again, get rid of these things. And we need Holy Spirit perception so that we can see clearly what's going on. So that we can know. And I want to tell you again, if you know biblical revelation, you're going to have tremendous discerning abilities along with the immediacy of the Holy Spirit. Remember, again, I mentioned, Jesus gave real-time heads up. Biblical revelation gives massive, you know, exposure to the work of the enemy, but it's the immediacy of the living Christ and the Holy Spirit in us that may give us a heads up in prayer. That may all of a sudden we feel something, sense something, and we say, Lord, what was that? In prayer, are you listening to God the Holy Spirit? In prayer, like in Acts chapter 13, when they prayed and fasted, simply says this, and the Holy Spirit said to set apart Barnabas and Paul for the work I have them to do. So this, God gives communication. Look at Acts chapter 8. Philip was out evangelizing, and guess what? The Holy Spirit said, go stand over there, real time, right there in the midst of things, go stand over there by the chariot. And he eventually led that man to Christ. I'm telling you right now, and I pray that God will grant to all of us, and we would be willing to listen. The Holy Spirit will never contradict the Scripture, but always bring it into light. And the Holy Spirit will always exalt Christ and lead in that direction and never detract. So listen, become more experiential in your yieldedness to the Spirit of God and waiting for Him to show you things. Pray a simple prayer like this: Lord Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, is there anything the enemy's trying to do or has done in my life that I need to deal with? Do I need to renounce anything? Do I need to throw anything out that's connected? Do I need to quit doing certain things or going to certain places? Is there any particular kind of assignment? And just, you know, let the Word of God come to you. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And then act on it. You may have to renounce things, repent of things, to clear your life and your whole being, which should be given over to the fullness of God in Christ. Secondly, that if God shows you in the past some kind of attachment, some kind of thing in your family line, your grandfather was a 33rd degree Mason, whatever this might be, you might need to say, Lord, I don't know if there's any influence, but I renounce and in the name of Jesus Christ break any and all family history, bloodline history of anything that was demonic in the name of Jesus Christ. I renounce it. I command it to be canceled. Lord, deliver me and my family from all of it and only fill us with your Spirit and your mission. The third thing you can do is begin to pray out loud against. See, I took time this morning. My prayer time was to pray for you early on and to pray for all the other things and to pray for lost and revival and many things that I'm interceding for. And that was after worship and being in the presence of God. I mean, I even sang, you know, because nobody was around when I had my quiet time. I mean, I even sang some hymns and, you know, and the Bible says, build yourself up in your most holy faith. I did that. I do that. And I feel God's strength. And it's a joy. What an incredible joy. But I intercede then, and then I pray about other things that I need. Then I let the Lord speak to me about anything that I need to change, whatever. But when I come to the point when I say, Lord, deliver me from the evil one, give me a heads up. Is there anything going on? What do I need to pray against? What do I need to do? So I'm just going to check right now, and I'm not sure, because I got a note in here just a few minutes ago from Deborah, and she said she lost connection. And from the show tonight, and I don't know if you've done that or not, or if something occurred. So let me know if you've lost connection. Let me know if you're listening live that everything's okay. Maybe it was just something down where she's coming from. It might be an individual computer. It might be something larger or broader. But we pray right now, Jesus, deliver everyone from the enemy breaking in and trying to stop the message. See, I feel the Spirit of God. I sense it's a great joy to know. You know, to just flow in sharing the Word of God, exalting Christ, and speaking the truth. You know, some of you that are listening, because you monitor the show, because you need to check out. I mean, chosen ones with sub-personalities all over the place. That's what they're doing. They're monitoring everything. I mean, one individual at a police department, which was a chosen one, they were collecting the information. I'm talking about a sub-personality committed to the Luciferian side. And they would, on the computer, send it to somebody. They would let me know. They were telling, giving a heads up, giving names. See, this is the kind of thing that's being done underground. Eventually, this is the kind of thing that will surface. A surveillance society. Because I tell you what, when the spirit of Antichrist comes, there's going to be this forceful sense of excluding Christ, the Word of God, in anybody connected. You must become stronger. You must grow stronger. In 1 John chapter 2, let me leave you with this tonight. You can take a read where it talks to the paideia, the technia, and the pater, the fathers, the babies, the younger. See, it's referring not to actual physical age, but it's referring to individual development. Brand new believers, young believers, and older mature believers. Well, it says to the younger believers, here's what God says. I write to you because you are strong. Wow, that's a really good word. They got spiritual muscle. You're strong. And you have overcome the evil one. Isn't that great? In actual experience of real time, they have Nike. Victory over the work, the methodology, and the attacks of the devil. Because they know what they are in Christ. They know their authority. They know the armor of God. They know how to walk. And then it says, because, it's all because of this, because the word of God lives in you. Lives in you. It's a little Greek word, meno. Means that the word of God has found its home to be alive and operative. If you read in the book of Thessalonians, it says that they believed the word of God as it actually is. They believed it as it actually is the word of God that is at work in them that believe. Well, I'm taking a look at the boards here, and I haven't seen any other emails in, so maybe we got cut off tonight. But listen, if you are listening to the live show right now, I don't know if we've been cut off or not. I really don't. And if it was cut off, then again, archives will have it all because we're recording it here locally and the entire hour will be up. I just want to say that, listen, in the midst of this clash, it's not even about arguments. It's not about the fact of one person being right and another person being wrong. It's a matter of God. God being right. You and I, we know that we're the ones that have done wrong. We opened the door to this tragic, ragged edge world. Jesus came into it. God came into it. Look what he did. Look how he lived. Look what happened at the cross. And it's all because of you. All of this is because of you. The only reason I am on this air right now is because of you. The only inspiration I have and the entrance into my life is Christ. The love of God compels me. If you're lost, come home to Christ. Give your life to Jesus. If you know Christ, my dear friend, become stronger and stronger and stronger. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Want to urge you again to think about possibly coming to Mansfield, Ohio, October 23rd, October 24th, and demolishing strongholds. Check it out, ShatterTheDarkness.net.